property is, do the math for me. Sorry, my mind just blanked out.
100, 150 a month.
Okay, $150 a month when you're homeless. That's a lot of money. So $5 a day isn't even sustainable. We didn't even get into food. So how is she getting food? These are the stories that make my heart just bleed. And so, no, the church is not good. It is not holy. It is not righteous. There's nothing good coming out of it. There's no, people are not being saved. There's nobody getting raptured by Jesus. They're not doing God's work. They're talking. They do a lot of talking, talking, talking.
Talking, talking, talking.
Are meaningless. How about this?
And these fucking songs, they put you, it's so low of a vibration. It fucking is toxic. And these words, they're all these songs, it all brings your mood down, your energy low. It's so fucking satanic and low vibration.
And you know all what? That shit. That's what I was taught, is that that only listen to Christian music because it's the only edifying music. And as I went through my marriage, I was becoming more and more depressed. And my absolute favorite band was Mercy Me.
Yeah, I used to like them too.
Okay, so Mercy Me, MM, Master Mason.
Wow.
Hold on, it gets worse. So I looked up, I looked at their album cover, one of their album covers. So I don't lose the call. I don't want to do the research. But there's an album cover with a bunch of tiny pictures on it, little fragments of pictures. And you can see one eye. There's actually a child where you can see that they look like they're crying or being abused. They use black and white symbolism everywhere. You can see the Freemason hand gestures. And when I saw that, I went, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that's that song. I can only imagine a satanic.
Yeah. In my marriage, Carl took me to two movies in 18 years of marriage, two movies. He took me and my children to see Monsters, Inc. It's not a coincidence. And he took me to see the movie I Can Only Imagine. That's not a coincidence.
No, it's not a coincidence.
Yes. It's the mind fuckery that I was going through.
Tell us about what you found on the Monsters, Inc.
Oh, okay. So in that Freemason chat, they were talking about how Monsters, Inc. is all coded. The entire thing is coded, and anything anyone needs to know about trafficking is in Monsters, Inc. So that's where they were talking about the Red Door and how I connected to Disney. But again, there's something more to Red Door. And by doing this podcast, I hope somebody reaches out to you and says, I know more about the Red Door. And then you have them on your podcast and talk about it, because this is the only way that we can wake people. So
yeah, that's what I'm going to do, Sophie, is on my friends' Facebook, I'm gonna start having some other speakers on here as well, that we can start sharing their stories and what they know. Because some of my friends, they know different things that we need to share, and I want to get some other people's stories too from these DCF group chats on how they're stealing their children.
Yes.
And so that we can expose this sick fuck fraudulent family court.
You and I can both agree. Get out of church. Get your kids out of church. Never use a Bible camp or send your kids to Bible study like Awana or summer Bible camps. Stay
this
the
needs
hell away.
To be. We're calling, honestly, Sophie, you and I are calling for a mass exodus from the church. That's what we're calling for.
If people would stop tithing entirely, it would actually make a difference. But the problem is, like that stupid girl I told you about who said in obstinance to me about Kenneth Copeland, she was going to go buy as many books as she could. This is what we're dealing with. So
yeah, that's what we're dealing with, exactly.
And she somehow thinks she's going to be raptured and she's going to go to heaven and spend the rest of her eternity with God. I don't think so.
Well, let her be the last one to wake up. We're going to focus on some other people.
Yeah.
We can't lose our energy on these people that are too hard-headed.
And our focus is we know the exact address where your daughter is.
Yeah.
We know who she's with and where she's at, and she can be saved. And if people really want to prove their faith, then they're going to step out and they're going to get involved and they're going to en masse stand in front of Adela Bell's Carney Phillips was there too. They're going to stand in front of that house and they're not going to leave. And the address where Osha Taylor is at is 1421 SH Street, Lake Worth, Florida. So once again, 1421 SH, S as in Sam, H as in Ham Street, Lake Worth, Florida. And if you want to call Adela and have a conversation with her, she can be reached at 803-547-2457, or you can call her cell phone at 561-315-9786. There you go, Adela. Yeah.
I want to talk about her because this lady literally told me to my face, "I don't like you. I like your daughter."
That's creepy as fuck. And she's six years old like me.
She's creepy as fuck, and her eyes are buggy like she did a fucking bag of cocaine in the morning. I don't know what the hell's going on, because her eyes are way too buggy, way too fucking buggy. And the fact that I didn't even know that she was around this pastor who has a huge cocaine problem until you told me that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also proved that he is a Freemason. He belongs to a district. I'm trying to find it right now. I have hundreds of pages of stuff just from working with you on all of this. So trying to find the information is difficult, but he belongs to a specific district in Florida that's all Masons, and he belongs to the CH Mason district.
And they took my daughter to Legoland.
And he's a superintendent of that district, by the way. Legoland. All of these things, Disney, Universal Studios, all of it, that they're trafficking. I don't want to name the girl's name because she's a very famous MK Ultra, but she's a traitor. But she had talked about, she and I both believe that we were trafficked in Disneyland around the same time, and the same location based on our stories. And when I was explaining to her what I remembered that I saw, and I described the place that I was taken from, she said I was accurate. Now, I'm telling you, she's internationally known. By me saying this and she's saying, yes, I'm accurate, there's credibility to this. But one of the things she was talking about is color. So if you see a child wearing yellow, it means they're for sale. And so they have hand signs and hand signals of how they buy, and I know the signal now. So they use like a L shape hand, and
L shaped hand?
Yeah, so they do their hand in the shape of an L. And the irony, the just irony of this is when I was meeting with Ed Groendahl, the therapist in Crystal Lake, Illinois, I told him that I would be trafficked at these parties where all these doctors were. And I said, I knew how bad my night was going to be because they would do this hand signal as I walked by. So they would send us like Joan, we would be dressed up like JonBenet Ramsey, you know, the makeup, the hair curled, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, we were not allowed to wear underwear. And that was just such a vulnerable feeling. So we would be brought downstairs and walk through these parties, and they would do these like L shaped hands, and I knew how bad my night was going to be by how many L's I saw directed towards me. And then we would be sent upstairs, and these people would come in like a train one after another. It was husbands and wives. It was just a man. It was a bunch of men all at once. Whatever combination they came in, and they had carte blanche. And the fucking thing is, police were always guarding these parties, so they were never going to be arrested. We were never going to be helped. I've hated cops for as long as I can remember because the people that were supposed to help never helped. And so they were talking in that Freemason chat group about that L symbol. I'm like, oh my God, I know that symbol. It took everything. I was trying not to talk, just to listen until I was asked a question. I was asked to identify myself. And how you identify yourself, I'm guessing that from what I can gather, comes by identifying the lodge you belong to, and how you identify that, it appears to me, is the coordinates that go east, west, south, north, and then there's a number after it. And the number is what's confusing me, because that number is what solidifies what lodge you're from. The number 15, they kept using 15 all the time, and I haven't figured out 15. But 15 somehow belongs with identification. Well, I failed miserably because I didn't belong there. And I got cut off from everything. So I put it on Facebook how I'm blocked. My IP address is blocked from all these Freemason sites. I still belong to 103 blogs of evangelical pastors who are actually Freemasons, and I haven't logged into any of them for fear of it being connected. Once I started figuring out one pastor and they reference other blogs, that's how I discovered them.
Sophie, talk about the post you made about the Memphis guy. Or was it that one pastor that was had the 10-year-old boy?
I just had that up a little while ago.
He had the 10-year-old boy reading and talking about he was some kind of a warrior against Satan and some shit.
Yes. So I think
that's the one you translated what he actually meant when he was using coded words.
Yes. Hold on. Where is it? I think it's called House of Refuge Ministries in Joplin, Missouri.
Yes.
So, House of Refuge and Hope Ministries is where that came from. It was a TikTok video. And the guy that posted about it, first of all, he had a lion in his profile. And here's some news, evangelicals. Lion of Judah is a huge clue if you see a lion in somebody's profile, or they're talking about lions or roaring like a lion, it's Lion of Judah. It's Freemasonry. It's not Christian. And so, in fact, putting on the whole armor of God, I also learned that in this Freemason chat. Go to 2 Chronicles 2, and that is the armor of God. That is basically all of the secrets are in 2 Chronicles 2. I'm still working that out, but that's where that comes from. So in that TikTok video, please feel free to find that post that I made and link it into this chat. The pastor at 36 seconds, you can see him do this very quick hand signal. And he does something with his hands, he points, and he does something with his ear. I don't know what that means, but that's how they talk to one another. So, and I did send you that video from Stuart McIntosh of the courthouse where they were doing the hand signals to warn of the profane guy that was about ready to be sacrificed by the Jesuit court. They talk with their hands, they talk with their eyes, and they talk with their body language, but we don't notice it. Why it's so prevalent to me now is because I've been trying to figure out, how did Carl have me in such a state of cluelessness the entire time we were married? And that's where I recently learned about neuro-linguistic programming, and I had somebody else refer me to dark psychology, and I've since learned that they learn to drug and hypnotize very early on in Freemason lodges. And if you become really good at it, you'll ascend. And if you don't, that doesn't become part of what you do. So
they're good at drugging people.
Very good. Yeah. I wonder, a friend of mine who comes from the same background, she and I have talked about this many times, because we just grieve and grieve and grieve how we were helpless, because there's this one drug that's called scolopine, I believe it's called. And what it does is you're still aware of everything going around you, but you're paralyzed. So you know.
Oh, shit.
So as a child, you know you are being raped. You know you are being gang raped, and there's nothing you can do. She and I've talked about this a bunch of times. I wonder if she would be willing to come on and have a conversation. But so they drugged us. I had a conversation with another survivor, and who jarred another memory. Carl used to make Bloody Marys for me on Sundays. Now, remember, we're Christian, right? So we're not supposed to be drinking. So what did Carl do? Well, it's our secret. You know, we're both good Christian people. It's our secret. So he would make me Bloody Marys on Sunday. Well, I recently, and I can't find the site now. I've lost it. I thought I saved it. But I found this site where they were talking about putting drugs in drinks. And one of the best ones to put drugs in is a Bloody Mary, because it's so powerful, it hides the bitter taste. And I forget what they call it, what Freemasons call this drink. It starts with an A. Not arsenic, but so this Bloody Mary is drugged. And I was remembering a memory of, I was standing in my kitchen, and my two girls were in the kitchen with Carl, and they were all making a joke because I was behaving apparently very erratically. And Carl had shown them that he made a drink for me and he didn't put any alcohol in, and how it was all in my head. What my children didn't know is he drugged my fucking drink.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I knew I was out of my mind. I knew I could not control what was happening. He's telling my children I'm sober and it's all in my head, and my children were laughing at me. And if Carl was willing to drug his wife, the good Christian boy he is, that I met at the Baptist General Conference in Arlington Heights, Illinois. And they all defend his abuse, that he was drugging my children. I absolutely guarantee Carl was drugging my children and drugging me. I firmly believe that he probably was raping my children, and I didn't know, and they didn't know. And he just kept advancing in his little army of sodomy soldiers, or lodge lizards, as I call them on Facebook. And because we were his test dummies. And what did my children do when I committed suicide? They turned on me. They're programmed. My children are programmed. The stepmother that trafficked me talks to my children on Facebook. Now, why did she show up in my kid's life? Because she wanted nothing to do with them when they were little. Because I didn't marry a doctor, so therefore I was just the lowest form of scum. So she wanted nothing to do with them when they were little. But she waits until my kids are grown up. And the worst thing that ever happened in my house is money. They controlled us with money. And for me, money became a horrible thing because it always meant I was going to owe somebody. And yeah. So my kids, though, grew up, their dad at one point was making a six-figure salary. So they grew up in the finer life. So Georgiana Shobris, she manipulates my kids with money. I bet you anything Georgiana Shobris paid for Jackie's entire nursing school and paid off her student, or she doesn't have any student debt. I bet you anything. And then I found that Christine, so Jackie's the older one. She got involved with Latin Kings and gangs, and I mean, just on and on. She was always in trouble. And it's how I ended up not being able to escape Carl, because I eventually had to take a job where I was home before and after school to babysit my oldest daughter because I couldn't trust her. And so I was making $12 an hour, working 12 hours a week. There's no way to escape an abusive husband. And the church gave Carl Fulton Harvest Bible Chapel in Rolling Meadows. Rick Donald, who is now in Indiana, in Northern Indiana at a church, I've posted where he's at, gave Carl full control over our finances. So I couldn't get out. So Jackie's more and more belligerent. She's getting in trouble. I know Christine was raped. I know that Jackie set her up for that, because Christine was told to keep secrets, but Christine years later told me these things that I didn't know. And one of the things about Christine that I believe she's extremely targeted Jackie had this boy, his name is Josh Chacon, that she was going to school with. He's 3 years older than Christine, and he's secretly dating my minor daughter, and Jackie is covering for it. And then I found, I'm going to send it to you, it's the most disgusting, perverted, sexual not messenger, I think it was an AOL chat room or something way back when, to my daughter, that I found years later. And I found it sitting in my computer under another name. Jackie covered for an older boy who was having sex with a minor. And Christine had a very healthy savings account. As soon as her money ran out is when he left her. That's on Jackie, because they were hiding it from me. And every time I told her I knew something was going on, my kids would gaslight me that what I thought I saw and heard was not what I thought I saw and heard. And then the worst part is Christine's friends at Woodstock High School in Woodstock, Illinois, were protecting Christine. They were covering for Christine, that Christine was going to a sleepover at their house when she was really going to Josh Chacon's house for a sleepover as a minor. And I don't remember all these girls' names, but they were protecting a pedophile and destroying my daughter. And here,
like a Matt Gaetz, basically.
I have dissociative identity disorder, and I don't know it. So I'm being traumatized left and right from my childhood. So I'm shutting my system down because I can't handle it. And they already know that they can mess with my head. They even said that. I remember them laughing at me that I wasn't going to remember anyway. So everyone knew something was going on with me. And instead of helping me, they exploited it. I just learned recently that this guy Christine was dating for, I think like 3 to 5 years, his name is Rob Ortiz. He sent me a message and I kept it, saying, "I am abusing your daughter and I want to stop. Will you help me?"
Wow.
Yep. And I did. I tried everything possible to get my daughter to leave him. And when I couldn't get her to leave, I tried to get him help. So this is over and over again. If I couldn't help my kids, the people that they were around, I tried to help, because I thought if I can get them to straighten out their lives, maybe that will help my kids. Well, that was just me being naive. I was extremely naive. Like, I can't tell you how many resumes I wrote for gang members for free. Oh, my God, what a dummy. So anyway, it looks like Rob and Christine broke up. Well, he was abusive to her. It's a good thing that he's gone. The guy between Rob and the guy between Rob and Josh, his name was Sam Hunley, and Sam Hunley committed suicide apparently around Valentine's last year. Now, Sam grew up in an extremely abusive house. His mother works at the Carpentersville, Illinois school district in the district building. She apparently has a load of DCFS records on herself. So the first day I met this Sam Hunley guy, I knew he was abusive. He was in my house. I told him to knock it off. I told Christine, he can walk out of here and walk home now, and I will keep you safe. What did she do? She was seeing the guy behind my back, got pregnant with his child. He was apparently so abusive to her that he tried to throw her apparently out of his car or her car on an interstate while she was pregnant. And she apparently had to leave Elgin Community College because this guy was so abusive and he was stalking her. I no longer know what to believe as truth, because she had his baby, which that's admirable that she didn't choose abortion. But what was really disheartening to find is Christine is friends on Facebook with Earlene Hunley, the abuser's mom. And I could see posts where she's mourning the suicide of Sam Hunley. But Christine told me after my suicide, 69 days after my suicide, Christine told me I should be locked up forever because I'm such a danger and I should never be seen again. And yet she's mourning her abuser's boyfriend. I have to just say that this has got to all be programming.
Programming and mind control, yeah.
Carl, my Freemason husband, and the first one, Joseph Pleka, that MK Ultra lady I told you about from Disneyland, she showed me a picture from she showed me pictures from the 33 Club, and I just lost it. And I had remembered being in the 33 Club with Joe and my girls. We used to go to Disney World twice a year because he won these trips. I don't think he was winning trips. I think that that Joe was trafficking me and my girls. And I fell apart when she showed me pictures. I remembered it, and I just started having one flashback after another. I believe firmly that Jackie and Christine Sapleka and I were being trafficked. And because of drugs and hypnotism and mind control, we didn't know it. But I'm the bad guy in all of this.
Okay, so what's your message to all these other women that could be going on to them in these churches and stuff? They maybe even be getting drugged and they don't know it.
So what I've said on Facebook over and over again is church is the most dangerous place to be a woman. I just posted, I said, you're not safe. The second thing I would say is if the church told you that you need to be submissive and obedient to a man and he has full control of your finances, you're already fucked. You're in the hands of a Freemason and a Freemason church. You're not being good and godly, and you're not altruistic. You're not holy. You're stupid. And I'm sorry to be this mean, but my life is flatlined. I have literally nothing. I'm less than 100 days. I will have no home, no money, no job, no connections. Once I lose my phone and internet, I don't even have, you're in Florida. And you've got your own issues. I can't get to Australia or the United Kingdom or Canada. I don't know who else I would trust in the United States, but I was flatlined, and I have hundreds of other women from churches who were flatlined. And there's some people like Bonachet, I can't remember her name, but she's from Church of God, a scary place in Oregon, who, if you ever read her post, she's got thousands and thousands of women who were destroyed by the church. So,
wow. Give me a link on my Facebook to her page so I can,
yeah,
to join her.
Yeah. So what I would say is if you have a job, keep it. If you're paid at that job, start your own separate account. So what I learned that Freemasons use a CPI. It's like a certified personal number, something, whatever it stands for. And all of their wealth is hidden behind these shell numbers. So it's not attached to their social security number. So if a Freemason divorces you, you can't get any of his assets because you can't prove he has those assets, which is what happened to me. It was a Freemason who told me that Carl did that. And he explained how the system works. So I would say to women, do the same damn thing. Hide your money behind a number that they don't know about. And the other thing I would say is trust no one. So your best friend at church, maybe your handler. Linda Ross Peterzak was my handler. She destroyed me. Right. She destroyed my kids. And in fact, I thought of something the last few days. Within 6 months of marrying Carl, I was experiencing abuse. And somewhere I've been trying to find it. There's an email I sent to Linda telling her I was being abused that she forwarded onto the church about getting me help. And what they did is they sent me to the Biblical Counseling Center in Palatine. And my kids, Christine refused to go. She's like, no, I'm not going to go get counseling. Carl's the problem, not us. Jackie went until they mentally collapsed her. I mean, literally mentally collapsed her. They were telling Jackie she needed to be a better child so that Carl would stop abusing us. I needed to be a better wife and basically if Carl wanted sex from me, I should give him sex. If Carl wanted a particular dinner, I should have dinner. I should always be
Oh, this is common. This is very common, actually.
Yes. So if you're experiencing these things, you're under Freemasonry control. You're not altruistic. Yep. You're not a woman of honor. You are perpetuating abuse of women. And I don't care what you say. I'm not going to hell. I'm sorry.
These women don't realize how powerful they are if they actually would leave these piece of shit men alone. Let them be alone. That's my message, is to any woman that's married to a fucking cop is disgusting because they're fucking pigs and they purposely traffic children and they're aware of it. How the fuck do you grab someone's child and put it in a goddamn police car when they didn't do shit fucking wrong? You are literally a sick, demented fuck, and your wife should leave you immediately. There's no reason for women to be with a fucking sick bastard cop like that, that traffic children.
Yeah, they can't get away from it. But I actually remember as a child in Oaklawn, Illinois, being in a tunnel that went from Christ Hospital to the police station. I remember this. When I tried to expose it a couple of counts ago, oh my God, I had people after me left and right. So I know what I'm saying is truth.
Expose it here. Say everything you want about that shit.
So the Oaklawn, Illinois Police Department, there is an underground tunnel that leads to Christ Hospital in Oaklawn. At Christ Hospital, I actually have a map because I remember where the tunnel came out back then. Or I remember where I was based on heavy drugging and just remembering kind of where we went.
And what kind of hospital is this? A hospital for children?
No, this is a regular, average, everyday hospital. It's Christ Hospital, Christ, where I went through medical torture. I went through tons of medical torture. Oh my God, ferocious medical torture. That Christ Hospital, Holy Cross Hospital. I went through.
But how old were you when they did this torture to you over there?
I think it was happening from birth, but I don't remember.
All
I remember is being brought to these places and then just the slow incremental hell. So
what is your thoughts on this St. Jude Hospital? Because it seems very satanic, like they're killing children left and right over there and making trillions.
It's Freemason and it's trafficking. So all Shriners hospitals, all children's hospitals are trafficking. And I can get into that. So I'm starting to tell you what would happen to me when I was brought into the hospital. So we weren't sick. They made us sick. And
so yeah, they poisoned the children over there. I know.
So they would break us so that we would be very, flexible, to accommodate their plans for us. So like when I went into the hospital, I would be in a regular room, it appears, if I remember correctly, and they would incrementally come in and do these things just to get your anxiety going. So they hook you up to monitors. So they would hook you up to an EKG. They put the oxygen thing on. Then they would do the EEG things. They would come and take blood.
Oh, so they pretend like you need some medical treatment.
You're correct. So it was incremental, slowly but surely, over hours, like evenly spaced hours, they would add another thing so that you're constantly in fear because they're doing more and more to you. And the more equipment you're hooked up to, and you hear it, they don't turn off the sounds, so you hear the beeps and bells, and they don't allow you to sleep. So as soon as I would fall asleep, they would do something else. And this would go on for like, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 days. I don't even know, until you're so exhausted and you're so broken down. I just remember sobbing. And I remember my mother, Joyce Kreger, sitting in a chair watching this happen, and she did nothing. And the nurses did nothing. And I'm like, oh my God, they're all in on it. And then eventually one night in the middle of the night, you're wheeled out, and I'm going to call it the hallway of hell, because it always happens at night that they take you out, and you get used to it. You know it's coming. I'm sorry for being upset right now. So
you, no, that's fine.
We ended up in this place in the hospital someplace. I mean, you just go and go and go, and it's like, I'm going to call it a dungeon. And there's just rooms where they do all these different things. Like,
so it's pretending to be a hospital, but it's like a torture center, right?
Yeah. And I just recently told a group because they were questioning on TikTok, they were questioning their medical bills. And I said, all the torture procedures they did to us, they hide in other people's bills. And the reason I know this is because when I worked for my father in his medical office, he was a doctor, Dr. Martin Shobris, Harlem Medical Association, Chicago, Illinois. He's dead now. One of the things I did was his bookkeeping. And so we would hide costs for one person in another's bill. And I would like to say I didn't do that, but I was terrified of my father, so I did do it. So my father was like his own Robin Hood. He would decide that this person can afford that other person's procedure, so we would just hide it. And I did. So going back to Christ Hospital, I would end up in different rooms. Like the room would be absolutely freezing cold, like ice cold, and I would be shivering. I just remember these massively huge vents, or I remember a catheter being inserted into my urethra, and the pain of that. I don't even know what the point was, but the pain of that was so excruciating. And to this day, I have bladder issues just from that torture. Wow. What else do I remember? Definitely ECT. I went through ECT. That was a living hell. That had something to do with my father had decided I was severely mentally retarded. And ECT was going to fix that.
What is that, ECT?
Oh, electric shock therapy.
Oh.
And please let me take the word therapy out of it, because there's nothing therapeutic about it. All it's meant to do is erase your memory, which is why I'm so fragmented. I think I told you that I'm considered polyfragmented, so I have over 100 alters. Do not go to a deliverance ministry ever for any reason. They are Freemason, all of them. If you want to test me on that one, go ahead and tell me your deliverance ministry, and I will prove to you in 3 minutes and 33 seconds that they're Freemasons. Wow. So anyway, that was my little commercial break. So ECT erases memories. So say they took us, this is going to go back to St. Jude's Hospital. Say they took us out of the hospital, which they did when I was at Gottlieb Memorial in Melrose Park, Illinois. They would take us out of the hospital. There would be, you know, those white vans you see that people think are police escorting prisoners?
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you that they're escorting children. And police were always on guard watching as we were loaded, taken to what I'm going to call very fancy estates, where we were just abused the fuck out of. And, wow. And then like this one estate, I believe is in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Oh shit, I'm about to talk. I was gonna invite somebody from Wisconsin onto the podcast. The guy, one of our friends, Brad Veritas, he's from Wisconsin.
Yes, he and I actually used to live very close to one another.
Get out of here. Yeah. I should invite him on one day with us. That's crazy.
So what was I saying? Oh, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. This particular place I was at this house, it was on acres and acres and acres of land. There was a stage, and we were chained to the stage around our necks, and our very short chains on our wrists. And then there's a worse thing, and I'm not going to say it on here, but I mean, we were really literally fastened to the stage, and the way we were
chained around your neck.
Yeah, and if you ever met me in person, you could actually see the scars. I have
where was this located? Someplace out of sight from the public?
It was at some estate, and the reason I think it's some Lake Geneva is from a memory.
So some of these big estates have that going on over there, obviously.
Yeah, and that's where they do hunt clubs. So if you ever see a hunt club, they're not talking about Second Amendment. They're talking about hunting children. I don't think I was ever involved in a hunt.
That's hunting when they said children, like you mean they let the children go and then they come and then they hunt them?
They hunt them down and they sacrifice children. Yeah.
Wow. So like the Hunger Games, they do that with the kids and they let them go and then they hunt them down.
Yeah. And the worst part is that the older kids who are aware of it, you imagine a 7-year-old protecting a baby or a toddler from abusive adults. Like the 7-year-old has more common sense.
Wow.
There's a girl that her health declined and so we don't talk anymore. But she was involved in hunts. She just didn't know it. She would describe it. She was telling me about being completely naked. She thought she was around six or seven years old. And she was wearing only gym shoes. And she said it was really cold out and it was night. And they were sent into the woods. So they dropped in the woods. And she heard this baby crying. Now, in these hunts, if they hear you, you're dead. So she heard this baby crying. So the baby was also naked, laying down, apparently, somewhere in the woods, in the cold. She told me this heartbreaking story of how she picked up this baby, and she was trying to keep the baby warm and run with the baby to get away from the crazy adults. She and the baby survived. It's not because of the adults. It's because a 7-year-old had more common sense and soul than all the adults put together who do this insanity. And here's the worst part. Linda Ross Peterzak knew of these stories. And what she did is she infiltrated my friend list. She found these survivors. She befriended them and got me. And then when I thought I was talking to her in confidence about these heartbreaking things and I was trying to get well, I was trying to fix myself. She's sharing this private shit with the world. And
how do we stop this Linda Devil spirit? What do we have to do to stop her? Because she's obviously this mega evil bitch that's ruining people's lives. I'm sure she wasn't just controlling and manipulating you. Oh, she's doing it to other women.
The thing is that she has this innocent look about her and she speaks in this cute little Jesus voice. I was going to tell you earlier when we were talking about being submissive in the church, she wrote this she wrote this text. She wrote, in 2021, I wanted to use the unexpected finances I had for Karen's well-being. My husband allowed me to do this, even though our house is truly dilapidated, and it would have been reasonable to use that money on home improvements. Let me stop really quick. Her husband is 60-something years old. He bought his house in 1997. He married Linda, and I think in 2017. She married him knowing his house is should be condemned. And she thinks that it's perfectly reasonable to use her own money to improve his house that he never put her name on. This is the mind-numbing conditioning that they do to stupid Christian women in the church. Then she follows it up with, my heart remains open to my beloved enemy, meaning me, and God knows I will continue to be available to him, meaning God, in any way to secure her well-being if she allows me to. Well, I already told you what she did. She gave money to lawyers. She gave money to allegedly to PIs. She hired it's called Blue Eyed Visuals to do a interview with me that the guy has some kind of a stop on it so that I really can't share it anywhere. So he knew exactly what he was doing. So she didn't help me. That $60,000 that she got from this other woman, she could have helped 200 women easily out of domestic violence. And she's writing here about submitting to her husband and her husband allowing her to use her money to fix his house that she knew was a disaster before she even moved in. And she honestly believes she's following God. Their house should be condemned. And so she was saying this to this friend of mine from Australia and explaining what an altruistic, good human being she was. And in the meantime, I didn't know that Linda was tearing me apart behind my back, telling people about my past. Now, she'll tell you that I gave her permission. No, I said, when you were trying to secure me a safe place to go, people need to know that I have DID and I need counseling. I need help. I didn't know that they were corrupt at the time and that I need my house. I just need out of everything to keep my house so that I have a familiar place to live and the security. So in less than 100 days with DID and I'm polyfragmented and I will have no money, I will be on the streets. I guarantee it takes me 2 weeks before I'm dead. And I say this because I've tried to leave before and I always get caught by predators. So I will say this because this is how much I hate Linda Ross. Her address is 6405 Hillcrest Road, Cary, Illinois, 60016. Her phone number is 847-899-9167. Her email address is donotwasteyourlife@yahoo.com. Fuck you, Linda. She's playing this part and just completely leveled me. And she thinks she's this great human being. And she reads her Bible and Jesus is going to rapture her. No, she's under her Freemason husband's control and her Freemason church that she defends with everything she has. And I'm going to add Julie Royce into that because I tried communicating with Julie Royce multiple times. These pastors do not need to repent. It's worthless. They need to be in jail or prison for felonies.
Right.
And so to Linda Ross, to Julie Royce, to Diane Langberg, to Deborah Matroka, to Janelle Fabiano, I don't know who other names to name. Those are just females that Sharon Steele.
Glorious positions of like there's something special. They're all some sick devil fucks that are trafficking children and abusing women and children.
They're allowing abuse of women. And Linda yep. would tell me, if I got angry, she would tell me, oh, that's your alters. No, this is me telling you that you're a crackpot fucking crazy demon bitch. And I have PTSD so bad and you're making it worse because I asked for one thing. Oh, no, I asked for two things. I said, help me be safe from my abusive husband and help me keep my house. And you know what? Linda did everything, but she kept me in a permanent state of fear. She was always doing something. Like out of the blue sky, she told me, you know, Carl was trying to get guardianship of me. I have documentation of that. Deborah Matroka, the therapist in Lake in the Hills, Illinois, and Ben Gessing at Living Right Center for Behavioral Health in Algonquin were both in on it. Because Freemasons are dirty fucks, and that's what they do. They were all trying to get me put away because what's the worst thing you can do to an SRA survivor? Put them in the exact same place that they were tortured when they were a kid. So they can't get, there's no way of escaping. They're restrained, they're drugged. And that's what Linda ultimately was doing. So what I was starting to say is Linda convinced me in the summer of 2021 to give her guardianship of me and she would protect me. So I gave her legal, medical, and financial guardianship of me. It didn't take her a month when she contacted CAA psychiatrist Colin Ross to get me committed. I have it in writing. And you know what Linda told me? I was imagining things and it's not what it seems. Well, Linda, wow. I just gave Matthew your phone number. I gave the world your number. You come on his podcast and you tell us what you were actually doing. Defend yourself because you're not Christian. Yeah. You are Freemason controlled and you just yep. completely destroyed. You completely finished me off. An SRA survivor of the church. You knew.
Linda, you are a piece of shit. And I know it. You are. Unless you defend yourself, come on the podcast. You are a piece of shit as far as I'm concerned.
And it gets worse. So I was starting to tell you earlier. I'm sorry we're bouncing around. I hope people can follow. So when I went to Linda in 2002, and I said that Carl was abusing me, and she sent us to Biblical Counseling Center in the church, and they put me and my girls in counseling, not Carl. One of the things that Linda did is she was trying to get Jackie put into a Christian, I'm going to call it a re-education camp. So there's these Christian camps you can send kids to reform them of their behavior. They're nothing but trafficking centers. And I absolutely know that she did that to Jackie. And this girl that Carl was cheating on, her name is Barb Mucia, M-U-C-I-A. She lives in Des Plaines, Illinois. That as soon as I married Carl, he took out loans on my house. He was living in a bust-down, broken trailer, and I owned my home. I put him on my mortgage, and he turned around. He was making payments to Barb Mucia. And guess who Linda was friends with? Barb Mucia. So I almost feel like I was framed. I was set up in 2001 at the Baptist General Conference in Arlington Heights, Illinois. They're now converged worldwide. And the IT guy, Ash Padaria, put spyware, the most top-of-the-line spyware, on my computer.
Wow.
Carl said it was to protect us. No, it was so that Carl knew my every move because he's such a psychopath. So And then in 2019, when I approached 2019 and 2020, I went to Ash Padaria to show him absolute evidence that Carl was cheating. Now, as a Christian man, Ash Padaria, Roselle, Illinois, I think it's 616 Eastgate in Roselle, Illinois, is where he lives, he refused to help me. I asked him, because the Bible says that you're supposed to confront a person when they're in sin. He never did. And then I have it in writing from another survivor that Ash told this other survivor in writing that I was completely insane and she needed to be wary of me because I was paranoid that I was being watched. So at the time, that survivor was living in my house for a while, trying to get on her feet. It ended up she was a con artist. But anyway, she had a job where she worked from home. And so she had her own special software on her computer so that she could see who was in the network because of the job she had working for United Healthcare. And she could see who was on my network. She took pictures of it. And we tracked down the exact address where it was coming from. And Ash Padaria, the Christian guy, responded to her that I was insane, delusional, and paranoid that I was being watched. I have it in writing from Tracy that no, I was not insane. I was not being paranoid. Here's the proof. And so none of these people from the Baptist General Conference ever helped me or defended me. My boss, Steve Edlin, from the
That was definitely a setup.
Yes, I was set up. I agree. Steve Edlin,
the park on May 22nd, and 10 minutes later, after I left my daughter in the car, Kedrick Burley called the police on me after he was probably